Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our recollection series today. And today we're going to talk about Anquan Boldin, obviously a Ravens favorite for 3 years. Everybody obviously very upset when he left after the Super Bowl year. But here to join me and talk about that is Brad McGowan. Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. Anquan's one of my favorite Ravens that's in spirit. I mean, since he wasn't always a Raven and the majority of his career he wasn't, but he's just one of my favorites for that brief stint he was here.
It does seem like Anquan was a Raven more than he was anything else. He played with Colin Kaepernick a little bit at San Francisco, not with tremendous success there. Wasn't a terrible player or anything, but obviously played most of his career with Arizona, where he had 586 catches. I think it was 586, yeah. 44 touchdowns, 3 Pro Bowls, all those came with Arizona. But he certainly had his playoff, most of his playoff experience with the Ravens, where he played 8 playoff games, and the Ravens in those games went 6-2.
Yeah, he, when he joined the Ravens, so I remember I was on a business trip listening to an NFL podcast, arriving back in DC, listening to them talk about this trade when Baltimore traded for him. And I think, I think it had been rumored that Baltimore had been interested in potentially making a move for Boldin for a little bit. I went back and reread the ESPN news article about him being traded. And he is quoted as saying that he was excited about the prospects of joining the Ravens. And he makes mention that there was rumors that they were interested in him going back a year previous. So, you know, he felt like he would be a great fit. And, he came in right at the tail end of Derek Mason's career. I looked at the, at least with Mason's stint with Baltimore, and I was, just going through the stats. And that first year, really, it was like him and Mason were the tandem, similar stats. And most of my recollection of Boldin is in that final Super Bowl season. I mean, he's etched in my memory forever for some of those touchdowns against New England in the AFC title game. But, overall, he just really provided us a toughness in the receiving game that we really hadn't had and, really haven't had that same since. I guess Steve Smith Sr. Offered that same. Yep. Yeah, he offered that same similar situation too. So, but I always loved Boldin as a player. I always loved what he brought to the game, his physical nature. And he was really Flacco's security blanket during that era.
Yeah, absolutely. So I played 3 years, 45 games for the Ravens, came to the Ravens for a third and a fourth round selection, I believe it was. I have a fourth and a fifth. That's what they traded Haloti Ngata for, but it's a third and a fourth for Boldin. I thought part of the toughness you mentioned was probably best embodied in Arizona when he came back from that broken jaw and was playing very quickly. And I think, I don't know if he's playing with it wired or he had to have it somehow, secured in a fashion in order to play, but he was playing that year. And that was just amazingly tough of him to work through that. And Ronnie Lott type example of toughness.
Yeah, I made notes about that play when he got hurt in preparation for this because I have that play etched in my memory. It was in a game Arizona was playing against the Jets, and they were getting smashed by the Brett Favre Jets. And it was late in the game, and Warner throws a deep post, and Boldin, Boldin gets pushed by the defender from behind and his head goes down and Eric Smith just launches straight into his face and he they both were frankly looked like they were knocked out on that play. And he had, I'm looking at the article right now, he had surgery for a fractured sinus membrane, which required 7 plates and 40 screws to fix. And then he missed the following 2 games. They had a bye week, and then he was back after 3 weeks off.
Incredible.
And I think that season they went 9-7, and that was the year they ended up making the Super Bowl.
If you've ever had nasal surgery too, and I didn't have anything, which was, you know, 40, you know, plates and screws and all that. I had a little bit of bone removed for a deviated septum, like a lot of people do. It takes weeks for the bleeding to stop often just from that. So not a pleasant thing to go through. And obviously his was much more serious in terms of you know, some reconstruction that needed to be done there. Always a really consistent yards per target performer, which was very surprising to me when I looked at this again. But Arizona, 8.0 yards per target career. He had good years, he had bad years, but he was 8.0 for his career, 8.1 with Baltimore and 8.2 with San Francisco. So he didn't have that traditional pattern you see of a decline in yards per target that we often see as contested catches start to pile up with a decrease in speed and elusiveness, as is typical with receivers as they age.
Sure. And, you know, maybe the reason is because he never came into the league with much speed to begin with. he famously ran a 4.7140 at the combine, and it knocked his draft stock. So he went in the second round to Arizona out of Florida State. And, you know, over the last couple of years, we've just had these rookie receivers exploding onto the scene. First, it was Justin Jefferson. Then it was Ja'Marr Chase setting records. Last year, Puka Nacua breaks the record for rookie receivers. But Anquan Boldin, in his first game, he had over 200 yards and 10 catches and 2 touchdowns. Like, it was, he just jumped right in onto the scene and was the original of those rookie receivers, had over 100 catches and 1,300 yards in his rookie season. And so, you know, he came into the league without a lot of speed, but it never really hampered his career. And, you know, every year as these receivers are running 40 times, whenever a guy posts a slow time, I always just think back to Boldin and just wonder, you know, I would love someone that understood the film better to do a deep dive on what made him so effective. Because I recall a lot of his time in Baltimore, he was playing out of the slot. I mean, we only had, I guess they had Pitta and Dixon during that stretch, and they were still kind of on the come up. So Boldin really filled that middle of the field void. But in watching highlights, you know, he's catching a lot of contested balls deep down the field, like, you know, running from the X, Z, you know, he was all over the place.
Yeah, they did have him at the X a lot with the Ravens because they really didn't have that other guy. And Boldin was a good route runner. And the other thing Boldin did exceptionally well is use his body like a tight end to block out the ball. So just, you know, he was there to get the rebound when it occurred, meaning the catch in his case, but had some wiggle, I thought, at the top of the route, but his main game was just in using his big body in a way where you throw me a place where that guy cannot get it, and I'll make sure I'll get the ball. And he did a very good job of that.
You know, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk specifically about the 2012 season and the regular season, and then the run to the postseason. I was at the opening game of the 2012 season when they played Cincinnati on Monday night, and I remember, you know, seeing Flacco throw that deep, you know, it was to the deep middle of the field where he throws it like in between two defenders and Boldin catches it. And I just remember thinking, like, yeah, we just haven't had this kind of explosive pass game in such a while. And, you know, week 4, they play in Cleveland on a Thursday night. It's raining. It's gross. And he has 130 yards, you know, just like manhandling the ball in the rain. Again, like that strong grip strength to bring down those passes. He had the big critical block on Eric Weddle on Ray Rice's 4th-and-29 yes, conversion. That was potentially a block in the back. You know, that's some water under the bridge at this point.
As John Harbaugh would say today, that was a sea patch block. Yeah. And he got him right on the captain's patch. I don't know about that. But anyway, it was a great block.
Yeah. I mean, and that block was critical to converting that because Weddle had him dead to rights, maybe about 4 yards short of the line to gain. Bolden comes in and knocks him on his butt. And, you know, Rice gets that first down. They win that game. I was watching the Super Bowl highlight run up in preparation for this. And they make the point that if they don't convert that play, they might not even make the playoffs that year. And so, and then of course in the playoffs, Bolden was their most consistent receiver. He shined really all throughout the playoffs. He had a great game in Indianapolis to break that game open, or against Indianapolis at home to break that game open in the second half. He had some critical catches in the Denver game, which was an all hands on deck game. Oh, you want to?
I mean, against the Colts, he had 5 for 145, and the big play that he had in that was with 9:14 to go. The Ravens were still letting the Colts hang around with them. He put them up 24-9 with a great crack catch in the end zone, going up over traffic. He had other circus grabs, contested grabs during that game, which were really impressive. In piling up that big day, but that was like that one game was like a microcosm of what Shannon Sharp did during the 2000 playoff run in all the games put together.
Yeah. That was, I remember I attended that game, and I remember at halftime, you know, being pretty nervous. I didn't look at the game log, but the Ravens didn't have that big of a lead, but in the second half, I felt like Bolden really took over and put that game away. And that was Ray's last game in Baltimore. So that was a big one. You know, and then moving on to Kansas City, Torrey Smith obviously has that big game in Kansas City, but Bolden makes a number of critical conversions down the stretch to keep us in that game, keep us alive.
I'm sorry, which Kansas City game are we talking about?
I'm not Kansas City, Denver. Denver. Okay. Mile High Miracle that you attended.
Yep.
One of the most amazing games I'm sure to be at. Mm-hmm. You've talked about it much on this podcast.
Yep. Love the game. Six for 71 in that game. No touchdowns, but he had some key conversions. I think he might have. The one I remember is the one they reviewed for a long time before not reversing in terms of the catch. It was a critical 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 7 or thereabouts. And anyway, he made the catch. It was called a catch. Deardorff couldn't shut up about it, about how he thought it definitely hit the ground. And I'm sure Steelers fans and Broncos fans both, you know, in their bitterness were the same way, but it was ruled a catch and much needed at the time. And then of course the New England game took over in the second half when the Ravens, you know, ran it up 21-0 on the Patriots. But Anquan himself had two zipper plays kind of going up high in the middle of the field, up between the goalposts to get the ball.
Yeah. And in the span of in that second half, he had two of those plays, converting touchdowns. And then on the opening drive Baltimore has in the Super Bowl, he scores on the same play. So in a span of 3 quarters, he's, you know, 3 touchdowns on similar plays. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, love that. And that's the perfect play for him. I mean, effectively you're putting the ball up as an alley-oop in the rim, and that was his place. And it didn't even matter if there was an arm in there, because anyone who had their arm in there, they were at risk of getting it ripped off entirely. We saw that on the 3rd and 1 play in the Super Bowl, and Carlos Rogers was covering him by the right sideline and came to the line of scrimmage, and Phil Simms, who's calling the game, could not believe that Flacco was checking out of a run play on 3rd and 1 to throw a pass. He called it right there at the time, threw it out one-on-one, Bolden on Rogers. Bolden went up and got the football. That was a case of trusting your receiver entirely. There wasn't anything about Flacco's arm talent that made that play work. I mean, okay, it's probably not true that but it was not a hard throw for Joe Flacco.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Not going to make, as opposed to the fastballs he would normally deliver to Derek Mason that were very well placed in the strike zone to come back on a hitch route. This was go up and get the ball, Anquan, I trust you. And did a great job there. And the Ravens eventually converted that drive into the field goal that put him back up five.
Yep. Yeah, that was a huge play. I mean, he had a big game. He had a big game in the Super Bowl, close to 100 yards. Yeah, six catches for 104 yards and that touchdown on the first drive. So, you know, again, critical down the stretch in that playoff run. We don't win the Super Bowl without him.
I want to go back to the two prior years as well. I was kind of hoping we'd finish with 2012, but any order is fine. No, that's all right. The 2010 game, he had the touchdown to put the Ravens up 23-7 late in quarter three in the wild card game at Kansas City. And that was that really put that game away as well. I mean, just the number of big catches this guy made and the fact that Flacco always trusted him on the biggest stage. In 2011, he had two huge moments in the Steelers games. The first game of the year, he caught the touchdown pass on the third play from scrimmage. Remember, they ran left for 35 yards with Ray Rice and a big block from, I think McKinney was over there playing at left tackle at that point. I might be wrong about that, but I think that's who it was. McKinney sat out most of 2012 because he was a lazy slob. But in 2011, he started the season, I believe, at left tackle, and Orr was back at right tackle after about a year and a half of Orr being out of position. But anyway, big run from Rice, and then a short play of a few yards, and then a touchdown pass to Bolden, where just dropped in perfectly. Over his shoulder, and Bolden caught the ball in stride with not a whole lot of separation there. But anyway, there was that game against the Steelers.
And that was actually the first throw of the season for Flacco too.
It wasn't a pass play on that second play. So it was run pass. There
you go. I'm pretty sure I watched a cut up of Bolden's highlights in Baltimore, and that play you're describing is in there, and the announcers say, "I'm on the first pass, Flacco."
Oh, there touchdown. You go.
You know, so yeah.
Well, the second game.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the second game against Pittsburgh that year was effectively for the division. If the Steelers had won it, they would have won lower tiebreakers, potentially including the division tiebreaker, but maybe it was even a conference tiebreaker. But that was a game at Pittsburgh where Joe and the Ravens offense faced the need to score with a 92-yard field on Sunday Night Football and 224, 226, whatever it was to play. They drove down that field. Everybody remembers Torrey Smith. They remember Torrey Smith for dropping the ball. Then they remember Torrey Smith for catching the ball. Anquan Bolden on that drive had four catches for, let me get this right here, four for 51 on the game-winning 92-yard drive. And that included a 10-yard conversion on fourth and one where he got the play was entirely to isolate him on Willie Gay in the middle of the field. And another case where, you know, they're going to body him up and make a play pretty much no matter what. But he had a real connection with Flacco. Flacco and he understood exactly where he was supposed to be, where the ball was supposed to go. And that was just a great relationship there.
Yeah. And I was looking through the roster, the rosters for the three seasons he played here. And really they only, each season he was here, there was really just two receivers that got the lion's share of the targets. It was Mason and him in the first year he was here. And then Mason leaves, Torrey Smith is drafted. And so Smith gets a lot of targets in his rookie year. But it's really just the two of them. And then in the last year they have Jacoby Jones does, contributes a bit, but it was really, it wasn't like they had a lot of passing options for his stretch run for the time he was here. And actually looking at some of these metrics, one thing that really just jumped out to me, and it's a total aside, but in the 2011 season, the year they had Lee Evans on the team, and he has the noteworthy unfortunate play at the end of the New England game, but I was just looking through the stats. Lee Evans had 26 targets and 4 catches on the season.
Right.
That
actually
is awful.
I have seen it otherwise shown as 27 with 4 catches. And I think there's 3 interceptions and no touchdowns in there. Anyway, the passer rating throwing to him is either 0 or some very low single digit number. It's 0 if it's 27, and it goes up to like 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, maybe if it's 26. So truly, really an awful regular season
poor,
for Evans.
Poor Lee Evans. I don't hold him accountable for that game. And especially you could say that because Baltimore comes back and wins the Super Bowl the next year. But back to Bolden. He just embodied toughness, and he was the kind of guy as once Baltimore got rid of him and they paid Flacco all of the money. He was the kind of receiver that I always felt Baltimore really needed, that Flacco could just fire it in there and he could trust him to go make a play. And they didn't really have a guy. They didn't really have a guy like that at the receiver position, really, until, maybe the first 2 years of Steve Smith.
Right, they had Pitta, and they've had Andrews obviously for Lamar, but you're right, in
tight
terms
ends.
Of wide receiver, they haven't had it.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate. I think sometimes also the leadership angle might be a little underplayed. I think Anquan was about the work, and he really probably didn't put up with a lot of crap in the locker room. Is how I hear of it. The funniest thing, if you've seen the Sports Friends little thing where Flacco is talking to Ray Rice, animated Flacco and animated Rice are talking to each other, and Ray Rice is trying to get Joe Flacco to step up as a leader, and he comes to Joe Flacco and says, "Hey Joe, we think it'd be great if we had a leader on this team," and Joe goes, "Yeah, that's great, let's go get Anquan Boldin." and then he asks him to do all these try and give us your best leadership speeches, and he does all these terrible things. I mean, it's awful. You got to see it. I can't do it justice, but he starts trying pop culture references. He tries to get people to understand Homeland it's not going to relate to most NFL players, but anyway. And the second thing he does is try and start quoting the Bible and getting all Old Testament-y with people. And he goes, you just stop right there. I think I'll go talk to Anquan.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Well, putting you on the spot, do you think Anquan might be the best receiver in Baltimore history? How would you rank them if you just had to off the cuff, thinking about this?
It's not a ton to choose from. So Qadri Ishmael had 3 years that were probably not as good as Bolden's, particularly in terms of postseason performance. I would say Torrey Smith has obviously got to be way up there. It'd be a question there. Anquan had more big plays.
Yeah. So Derek Mason. Derek Mason had more yards in during his peak seasons, but not dramatically so.
Yeah, and didn't play. He played for four good Ravens teams in 06, 08, 09, and 10. But in 05 and 07, they weren't very good. Anquan played on all playoff teams, and those teams were 6-1 or 6-2 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean,
if he's not the best, he's in the top three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't think it would be unreasonable for the Ravens to add him to the Ring of Honor. Have they done it for Mason yet? I have to think about it. If they've actually put Mason in the Ring of Honor yet, he should be there, but I don't know if he is yet. And there's a few other guys who are kind of waiting, and there's a bunch of guys in the category with Anquan that played in the glory years and played at a very high level, with Matt Burke being one of the ones who really stands out to me as a guy that they should put in. But also players like Kelly Gregg, who were around and they actually missed the Super Bowl, but had long careers, very productive, and probably deserve to be in. So he's in the line somewhere on being in the Ring of Honor. I think it would probably take a few down years for the Ravens to then appreciate and celebrate what Anquan did for the Ravens in the postseason.
Yeah. I wonder if he were to make it into the Hall of Fame at some point. I mean, the receiving talent waiting to get into the hall is pretty, it's pretty substantial, but I think he ranks 14th all time. I think I saw 14th all time in career yardage and top 10 in career receptions. So that's no joke. I mean,
it's no joke, but the likelihood is that he'll start to fall down those lists as time goes on. And not just with the natural passage of time, like 500 home runs is no longer the standard it once was for, you know, a massive home run hitter. When I was born, there were only three players in the 500 home run club. It was Ruth, Ott, and no, actually Mays had not made it. Who would have been the other guy? Ruth, Ott, and Ted Williams. So there hadn't been anyone else that was in it. But you know, then a whole bunch of guys during my lifetime have joined that club.
Yeah. He probably doesn't get in, but yeah, I mean, for Ravens fans, he's probably the. There's other guys that had better single seasons, but as far as like what he contributed to winning and, you know, the clutch plays, he's probably up there.
So if you wanted to make the case for him, would you say, you know, Anquan and Joe Flacco in that playoff run really took a very mediocre team on their back to get it done? And the team, they had some other contributors. Obviously, it wasn't entirely those two guys who did it, but it was an awful lot of those two guys who did it for them in that 2012 postseason run.
Yeah, and I would think the weight of what they accomplished combined with the productivity over that 3-year span, I think would put him at the top. But I wouldn't, if someone wanted to say Mason's the best receiver they've had, or, you know, I don't really think Torrey Smith, once Bolden left, was he as significant a player? That's a good question. I have to go back and compare,
Ravens he's in the mix for very sure. Good after he left.
That's true.
So, you know, they had offensive line problems and everything was a little more difficult in 2013, 2014. He probably still wasn't as good, but maybe a little bit better than he had been in 13. All right. We'll tell you what, we have to call it there, Brad. I really appreciate you coming on always. Thanks for jumping on the draft show and doing that with me. And why don't you tell people where they can talk football with you online?
Sure. I'm online at MC Bradley on Twitter, and I refuse to say X, but no, on Twitter/X. Hit me up there.
All right. At McBradley. That's it. That is. All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, particularly if you'd like to do one of the recollection series, just hit me up with a DM on Twitter. They're always open. try and reserve the player you'd like to talk about, and I'll put it aside for you. We'll figure out the scheduling. It'll be sometime in June. If you have anything else you'd like to talk about that you're passionate about, love to hear from you as well. Brad, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.